Because of the hour, I'm just really aware that time's just moving right quickly. We're not going to do the Old Testament reading this morning. I'm just going to go right to the Gospel reading, which you will find in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 24. Jesus is talking with us here about what it really means to be his friend. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Nathan, would you be willing to pray for this time of learning together? Thank you. Her name was Nancy. And it was about this time of year. His name was Justin. And he was 16 years old. Remember that? Whenever he thought about Nancy, his heart began to race. And his breathing just got a little heavier. He had just gotten his driver's license. And so the world was about to become his. And the center of that world was Nancy. He just happened to be in her neighborhood. Yeah. Hoping that she would be outside, available for his worship. You say, what? Worship? Hey, let's face it. That's what it becomes. Even if he could only see her for a few minutes, he would just pull over and say hi. And then he was going to ask her out. That wasn't anything new for him. He'd asked lots of girls out before. But now he has a new phrase. What time shall I pick you up? He was sweating now. His stomach was all in knots. Does anybody remember this? Or was it too far back? And there she was. Justin can't remember what he said or where he suggested that they go, but her response was unforgettable. Justin, let's just be friends. At 16,
Those words cut deeply.
Romantic rejection. But you know, we're willing to risk it. We're willing to risk it on the chance that we might win another person's heart. After all, it's worth it, right? But there's another. There's another whose heart we've already won. And we didn't have to do anything. And he is so in love with us that he said, "I'll give my life for you." And when he says, "Let's be friends," he means, let's take it really deep. Nothing shallow here. His friendship is of the nature that where we need have no fear. Because we can't lose this love. This is eternal life, eternal love. The Lord wants to be our friend, for whom we would be willing to risk it all. But it's imperative that the vertical relationship, this relationship, always be primary. And there's where we get ourselves hooked up, or actually disconnected. Because this needs to be primary. But oftentimes it's these relationships that take precedence with a passing thought to the eternal one who's hanging out there saying, "I love you." Being a friend of Jesus, however, puts us in a predicament. You know what a predicament is? That didn't come out too well on the screen. Not quite a predicament. But a predicament is when, well, you're kind of almost down for the count. I was a scorekeeper for the wrestling team in high school. And if you were placed in a predicament while you were wrestling, that meant you were being dominated. And you were close to being pinned on the mat. A predicament. And we that follow Jesus, who call him friend, we're oftentimes in a predicament. As friends of Jesus, we are light. And we are light that wrestles with darkness. Darkness hates light. It maligns the fearlessness of this secure relationship that we have with Jesus and seeks to constantly find ways to undermine the relationship, to get us off track. And fear is a major tool of darkness. We're afraid that God's just not going to quite measure up, that God's not going to be there for us when we really need him. That's really, we're looking more at our own reflection there than we are at God. To get to really be a friend of God, to really know him, we learn it's all taken care of. This love is solid as a rock. And for that reason, Jesus says, we don't have to be afraid. Verse 26 says, "Therefore, do not fear them." He's talking about Beelzebul, or the devil, who causes us, in our insanity, to malign the members of our own households. He says, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Everything's going to come to light on Judgment Day. And he says, what you learn about in your relationship with me, he says, shout it from the rooftops. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Now, that was a pretty good picture for people in Palestine of that day, because almost everybody had a flat roof to their house and a staircase outside. And you could go up that staircase and stand on the roof and you had a bird's eye view. It was kind of like a platform for public address. You'd be up on the top of the house, and you could start to talk, and people would hear you. It's kind of like standing in the balcony. Anybody that's ever stood in the balcony and looked down, our voices just go right. They take a dive, and they reverberate. That's how it was. And he says, what you learn about light that confronts darkness, he says, you shout it from the rooftops. We were in our Sunday school class. Karen had a really good illustration. Then we found out that Philip Yancey had that same illustration. And I said, I'm going to steal this one for the sermon because it's really neat. In the Ukraine, several years ago, they were having elections. And there was the incumbent, and you have to remember, under Soviet domination, whenever the incumbent was up for re-election, the incumbent won. That's just how it was. But in this particular election, the one who was challenging the incumbent, which was very rare in the Soviet bloc, he won. He was winning. But the incumbent got on television, or had somebody on television, proclaiming victory for the incumbent, all the while down in the lower right-hand portion of the screen, there's somebody doing sign language. And the person doing sign language says, don't you believe a word he's saying? Can you imagine how much trouble this guy or woman could get in? Don't believe a word. And he's saying, he's lying through his teeth. Yushchenko was winning. And people that knew how to interpret sign language, you say, look at that. And they began to text, and it began to move all throughout the nation. And they said, let's meet in the public square in Kiev. And there was an overthrow of that government. That darkness was overthrown by something that had much more light. Shout it from the rooftops. Don't be afraid. When we know the truth, stand boldly. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to be a rough go for us. But we need to stand boldly. Our Father in heaven, according to this passage of Scripture, and if you know the Father, you know that the Father is well aware of all the danger that you and I are in. Just like sparrows, not one falls to the ground. You know, there are sparrows everywhere. Not one falls to the ground, but God doesn't know it, says this passage of Scripture. The hairs of our heads are in God's vision. Can you count them? For some of us, it's easier to count than others. But he's saying, I know the minute details about you. Live in this light that I see everything. You see, the Lord wants to be for us a friend for whom it's going to be willing to risk it all. But again, it's imperative, if we're going to be good disciples, that we keep this vertical relationship as primary. There should be a slide on that, whatever, I believe, that reminds us that. Again, the Lord wants to be a friend for whom we are willing to risk it all. But we have to keep the vertical relationship primary. Why? Well, if we don't, we're going to be easily scared off by the darkness. But when we keep the vertical relationship primary, our relationship with God, then we get the truth. And he whispers truth into our ears and into our hearts. And we get courage to face darkness. Our first friend is Jesus. And Scripture says to us, he's worth it all. Jesus throws out this priority to those that are listening. He says, you need to love me more than you love your family. And that's not an easy thing. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you say, whoa, that's pretty stringent. And he says, he's not saying, I want you to hate your kids or your parents. After all, Hebrew culture that he's part of stresses family loyalty. It's stressed in just about all cultures. But the Hebrew culture has it codified. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. In Jewish culture, only love for God, love for Yahweh, takes priority over family. And so when Jesus says, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy, he's saying a mouthful. He's saying, I am God. And I want you to love me more than anyone. He's claiming his place as the great I am. And loving Jesus, he says, is going to oftentimes put us at odds with family and friends and coworkers. Sometimes it's simply misunderstanding. Our worldviews are different. But sometimes we are clearly understood. And that's what places us at odds, because we get an understanding as to what's really good and right, and the world is saying something very different. The world gets the full screen. Sometimes we only get the little screen. But he says, I want you to be willing to take whatever I give you and be light in the middle of the darkness. Try as we may, instead of peace, this piece of scripture says, there is a division. And Jesus says something here that really bothers me. Doesn't it bother you? Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You say, wait a minute, is this Jesus? Yeah. He's speaking figuratively here. He says, there's going to be a division. There will be people that will be set against one another. And try as we may to be a people of peace, God's sword of holiness will divide us. I had a teacher in high school, and she became a friend of mine. She grew up in the same church I grew up in, and while she was away in college, she had a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And she came back after college, and she taught at our high school, but also taught in our Sunday school class. And she was one of the persons who God used to speak light into my life, so that when I was 18, I was ready at that point, by having heard it many, many times, I was ready to trust Jesus. Well, when she came back from college, you know, as a Christian, her parents did not understand what she was talking about. This newfound love for Jesus, radical stuff. Why would you do that? So they were already feeling a little put off by her. And then she fell in love with a Vietnam vet who she was caring for. This is a romance that happened as she would go to the VA hospital as an angel of mercy just to care for people that had come back from Vietnam and were oftentimes misunderstood and in those times maligned. But she went because she felt God was calling her to go there. And she fell in love with Jacob. Jacob was from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. That's not Delaware County, Pennsylvania, where we grew up. And she decided... They decided together that there was romance that was budding, and she decided that she would marry him, and that meant she would move to Lancaster. Her parents said, you have chosen him over us. It was very unfair on her parents' part, but that's the way they put her in a predicament, and she had to make a choice. She still loved her parents. She moved to Lancaster. They cut her off. She sent Christmas presents, and they came back, you know, refused. She sent letters and cards and tried to make visits, but the door was slammed literally in her face. people will not always understand your newfound loyalty for Jesus. And the life that he brings to us will sometimes put us in a predicament where we get cut off. But Jesus, he's the eternal lover. Earthly family relationships, this may come as a surprise, they're not eternal, not by their very nature. In the kingdom of heaven, when we get there, wherever it is, and we don't know the full picture as to what that all looks like, we get some pictures in Scripture. But when we get there, what I understand from Scripture is that in Christ, we're all sisters and brothers. That means you're sitting next to your mother, that's your sister. And your daughter becomes your sister. And your husband becomes your brother, if you're a wife. And your grandson that we pray for becomes your brother. Relationships change in glory. Jesus is the eternal lover who says, I'm getting a place ready for you, and it's all going to be different. The sad thing is that those who are not in Christ are lost for eternity. That's what Scripture tells us. Now you understand why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Because he knew here were people that were doing their religious duties, and yet they didn't know the power and the light that was available to them when he was right in their midst. We spend so much of our time, like Justin, running after Nancy. But Nancy cannot be first if we're a disciple of Jesus. This week, Kathy and I will be celebrating our 26th wedding anniversary. And the theme of our wedding, 26 years ago at Calvary Baptist in Ocean View, was that we are friends for life. But it's also clearly understood between us that as important as our friendship is with one another, there's someone who always is our first lover. And that's Jesus. God is always our first lover. And oftentimes we'll send cards to one another. You know, I love you with all my heart, you know, and you know, you're the most important person in my life. But we always put the disclaimer, we'll cross something out except for Jesus, because we just underline that for one another. Jesus is more important, and it needs to be stated. We want one another to make sure we know. And this one who is our first love, our first lover, says to us now from Scripture, take up your cross. There'll be misunderstanding between family and friends that oftentimes becomes a pain that crucifies us. And we feel, wow, this really, really hurts. But remember this, we have an eternal lover who is worth the pain. And his offer to you and to me is very simply, let's be friends. Oh, I don't mean casual. I mean, I want to take this friendship to the deepest level, and I don't want to do it just for this life. Let's be friends forever. And I just want to encourage you, if you have this friendship, you know what I'm talking about. And I just trust that your friendship with Jesus continues to grow deeper. Because that's what's eternal. Everything else goes. This world will crash and burn. Our relationship with him is eternal. And so I ask in the mirror, how much do you love Jesus? And then I also ask that of you. How much do you love Jesus? And then I quickly add, be sure of this. Jesus loves you more than that and is your forever friend. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that this life doesn't always give us what we're asking for. But you give us, even before we ask, you give us life. Thank you, Lord, for the richness of your love. Help us, Lord, to hold it close and to know that you are holding us close. In Jesus' name, amen.